Today's reading is from Luke chapter 10, and as we've been told, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan, starting at verse 25 of chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning, and welcome to anybody online as well. Great for you to be with us. The Good Samaritan is a story, a parable that I'm sure some of you would be able to recite off by heart. I remember hearing it for the first time in Sunday school. Maybe you can remember the first time you heard this amazing story, this amazing parable. But sometimes we look at parables as these kind of short stories that children can understand. But actually, we have so much to learn from these parables. Jesus didn't address these parables to children. Yes, there were times when he spoke to crowds and there would have been children there, but he addressed these parables primarily to adults. So please don't think of these parables as something that you've heard so many times, but the children downstairs are learning something. No, actually we've got lots to learn. And I'm glad we've started this series on parables. So as you know, the first one today is on the Good Samaritan, one of my favourite. So on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Now before we go on, I think he's made a mistake already, hasn't he? He stood up to test Jesus. Now if you ask me, try to get one over on Jesus and you're going to be humbled. And this is what we see. This man was humbled. But Jesus didn't just put him in his place. Jesus taught him something. And I hope that this man, after this experience with Jesus, this encounter, went away and lived differently. I really hope he did, but I'm not sure. So I pray and I hope the same for us this morning. And again, I've learnt a lot in my preparation. And yeah, really thankful for that. So here we're introduced to this Jewish man who thinks he can outsmart Jesus. He wants to get one over on Jesus. He wants to show that he knows more about the law than Jesus Christ. And he kind of wants to show Jesus up in front of his disciples. So he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This big doctrinal question, he thinks, oh, I'll get Jesus with this one. But he's asking for a way to life. He's not asking for a way of life. There's a difference. He's asking, Jesus, what tick box exercises do I need to do in order to reach the goal? He's not asking Jesus, how do I need to live? What does my heart need to look like? He's saying, what do I need to do? So Jesus, knowing this man's heart and knowing his area of expertise, he said, well, what is written in the law? Now, as you can imagine, this man, as the Bible says, an expert in the law. He gets it right, doesn't he? He quotes Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18 and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. So I think he was pretty pleased with himself. Jesus returned his question with a question, and he went, oh, I know this. And he probably rolled off the tongue as easy as you would say your name. He probably knew it that easy, you know, just da-da-da-da-da. So he's pretty pleased with himself, I think. But so was Jesus. Jesus said, yeah, you've got it right. Great. And I think if that was me or you, maybe we would walk away quite happy. I asked Jesus a question. I've got my answer. I know what to do. But he wasn't happy, was he? He was like, oh, I want to get one over on Jesus. And what can I ask him now? So he comes back with another question, doesn't he? And this is where it gets good. And who is my neighbour? He says. He thought, oh, maybe I'll get Jesus with this one. Maybe I could trick him into some contradiction or something. So Jesus starts to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. But he doesn't say, once upon a time in a land far, far away. No, he doesn't. It's not Shrek. He speaks in real terms. He sets this story in a real place where this man would have known very well. He even uses a road which this man would have travelled on. A road which was dangerous. It had caves and dips in the side of the road where robbers and thieves and criminals would hide in. And they would use that to then attack and steal. But this road was used primarily by Jewish people trying to avoid Samaria. They would take the long route and they would try to avoid Samaria while travelling to Galilee. So remember that. This road wasn't any road. Jesus knew that this road was used by Jews to avoid Samaria. Jesus speaks to us in a personal way, doesn't he? He's speaking to this man in a personal way. And I hope this morning he speaks to you and me in a personal way. He speaks into our hearts. And he knew this man's heart. He knew his motivation in asking these questions. His motivation wasn't genuine or sincere. We know he was trying to get one over on Jesus. So Jesus uses this opportunity to teach this man. As we know, Jesus was called teacher. And he wasn't just a teacher who taught, he was a teacher that lived it as well. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. So verse 30 says, in reply, Jesus said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now here comes person 1 and 2. Verse 31 and verse 32. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, the priest passed by on the other side of the road. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. Now, a little context. Levites and priests would not be able to touch a dead body. Due to their roles, they couldn't touch a dead body. They'd be seen as unclean. So they wouldn't then be able to carry out their role. But could this man Jesus was speaking to, could he say, oh, that's the reason they didn't help? Why couldn't he use that excuse? I'm asking you. He wasn't dead. It says he was half dead. But they wouldn't know that he was dead or not. Why? Because they didn't even cross the road. They stayed on their side of the road. But it says that they saw him. They looked, and they continued to pass by. How many times have you seen need and decided to keep walking? We're not perfect, I've done it. They just kept walking. So they didn't even cross the road. So I'm thinking about this man Jesus is speaking to, I'm thinking, what's he feeling in this moment? A priest and a Levite, two people that he would look up to. Two people that he would know quite well. He would know their roles and he would definitely look up to them. So I think he'd be feeling quite uncomfortable. And then Jesus continues. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was and took pity on him. He felt. This is the first step. You've got to feel. It all starts with the heart. He took pity on him. The expert in the law would have found this hard to listen to. He might have felt a little sick to the stomach. I'm not sure if you know, but Samaritans and Jews were not the best of friends. Far from it. They had different beliefs, different ways of living. And conflict that lasted centuries. He would not have been feeling very comfortable in this moment, hearing the Samaritan in a positive light. He thought he was much better than the Samaritans. So remember what I said about the Jews taking this dangerous road. They took this dangerous road just to avoid Samaritans. Well, it was none other than the very people, this man who'd been beaten until half dead, was most likely trying to avoid. He was the person that came to his aid. The person that he was trying to avoid to get to Galilee, he was the person that came to his aid. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. It doesn't say that this Samaritan was a doctor. It doesn't say this Samaritan was an expert in first aid. He did what he could. He saw the need. He felt. He had mercy. And he acted. Now before I carry on, I'm thinking about these two people groups here, the Jewish people and the Samaritans. And I think, well, in today's society, who could they be? You could fill the gaps in yourself, I'm sure. There's lots of examples. I was thinking, this isn't quite today, this would be a little bit further back, but a white colonialist and a black freedom fighter. Or in today's times you could think an injured Russian soldier in Ukraine and a Ukrainian civilian walking by. You can fill in the gaps. Think about yourself. Think about people maybe you look down on or dislike, or people who look down on you and dislike you. Verse 35. The next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense. So he came back and paid the innkeeper. We don't know if he's got lots of money, he might not, but it doesn't matter. He paid the innkeeper what he needed, and he even said, any more you need, I'll pay it. He went above and beyond. This was true compassion and mercy. Have you ever walked down Cardiff Queen Street and you've got people there who work for a charity and they go, can I speak to you today? Actually, there's some people down on the high street at the moment in Penarth. And I will say, the other day, I crossed the road a little bit further down from the crossing to get to Greg's. I did. I was in a rush. But I remember a time when I was walking down Cardiff Queen Street. I would have been maybe 19, 20. And at the time I had a part-time job. And I was doing some theatre stuff on the side. And I was stopped by someone from ActionAid. And I had some time. I was going to grab a coffee maybe before I went to my rehearsal. And I thought, oh, yeah, okay, I'll stop. And this person, he spoke to me and he told me some stories. And my heartstrings, they were being tugged on. And I felt compassion. And I said, okay, I'll pay £5 a month towards this cause. He said, it's only the price of a coffee every month. I thought, I don't know where you're getting your coffee from, but I go to Greg's. And my coffee's cheaper than a fiver. But okay, I was like, that's fine. So I did it. And I felt quite good about myself. And I went away and I got on with my day. A few months later, I was stopped by someone from Bernardo's. Bernardo's, I'm sure you know, a great charity as well. And again, my heartstrings are being tugged on, and I was like, ah. And Bernardo's, as you know, children, and that's where my heart is. And I said, okay, but this wasn't the price of one coffee, just 2 coffees a month, £8 a month, they said. So I thought, well, these people buy their coffees from somewhere a little bit cheaper than the ActionAid people, but okay, I'll agree to it. So what's that, £13 a month? Oh, okay. So I agreed to it, and I went away. I felt quite good about myself. And then a couple of months went by, and I looked at my bank, and I thought, oh, I could do with taking something off my direct debits. So I thought, well, ActionAid has had me supporting them for a few months longer than Bernardo's, so I'll get rid of ActionAid. So I did. I stopped my direct debit with ActionAid. And then, a little bit later, a few months later, I thought, oh, I need to get rid of something else because I'm paying out a bit too much. And I got rid of my Bernardo's direct debit. I probably supported both charities for a total of 6 to 8 months. But I looked at my bank account, and everything else in my bank account other than my bills would have been things that I enjoyed. So, you know, going for a coffee, going out for food, my travel expenses and things like that, my theatre group, all these things. So when I realised what it would cost me, I gave it up. I thought, no, could do without that. I didn't think about the people I'd be supporting. We put excuses in place, don't we? Or some conditions. And I did just that. We have compassion, but then when we want to show mercy, we think, oh, and we stop. And we think, well, I don't have time. Maybe I don't have the money. maybe I don't have the expertise to help in this situation. I've thought it, and I'm sure you've all thought this at some point. You've seen a need. You kind of feel that compassion, but you don't go the next step and show mercy. You don't go the next step and help because actually you've just put an excuse in place. If the Samaritan did that, what would have happened? Probably would have, the next person would have walked by, maybe would have seen a dead man on the side of the street, not a half-dead man on the side of the street. While the Jewish man who was laying on the floor half-dead, while his heart was pumping blood, the Samaritan's heart was pumping compassion and mercy. So this man who Jesus was speaking to, he was receiving a word straight to the heart. And Jesus said, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Well, the one who had mercy on him, he says. You see, he couldn't even say the word Samaritan, could he? What he was saying was right. Absolutely, the one who had mercy on him. And that word mercy is so vital, it's so pivotal. We all feel compassion. We only have to walk down the street and see somebody on the side of the street and we'll feel compassion. We've only got to look on the news and we'll feel compassion. We'll feel heartache maybe. But then what? I was thinking about it. I was thinking about compassion and mercy. And before preparing for this, I hadn't really thought of the difference. And I know there's a difference. But I realized you can't show mercy without feeling compassion first. Why would you? You feel it, or you see it, you hear it, you feel it, and then you do it. Or you don't. That's up to you. A little story about Napoleon. One day, a young lady approached the General Napoleon. She fell at his feet and she cried, "Sir, mercy, mercy for my father, I beg you." In French, but I don't know the French translation. Napoleon asks, "Who is your father?" And she tells him who her father is. He recalls that this young lady's father had committed crimes, so he'd been sentenced to death. And she says, "It's not justice I ask for, it's mercy. Please, please have mercy on my father." And Napoleon replied, "Your father doesn't deserve mercy." The young lady said, "Sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. I'm begging you, please have mercy." Napoleon looked down at the young lady and he said, "Okay, then mercy I'll have." Now we know Napoleon was ruthless. He was quite a brutal leader, a brutal man. But he had mercy. He saw this young lady begging at his feet, crying. And he looked at her and he felt compassion. He took the time to talk to her, for a start. Now this wasn't anybody special. This was some person off the street. Now, we're not at the level of Napoleon. We actually walk down the street like anybody else. But we don't even take the time to listen, do we sometimes? Sometimes we don't take the time to look and listen and see the need. Sometimes you want to block it out. Who's turned the news off when something's been a little bit too hard to watch? Who's crossed the street when something is a little bit too hard to look at, or when you've been asked for money? Napoleon, he said, "Okay, I'll listen to you. I'm going to look at this need." And he decided to act after he felt. Now, something that came out in that story was no one deserves mercy. Mercy isn't something we deserve. And actually, I think about it and I think, do we deserve anything? everything we've got comes from God. Because of God's mercy. Because of God's compassion. Because of God's love for us. I don't think we deserve anything. It all comes from God's love. Jesus said, go and do likewise. So will you turn away from the need? Or will you face it? When Jesus speaks, he changes lives. And I would love to know how this man lived after this humbling encounter with Jesus, as I said earlier on. In this part of Jesus' ministry, he would have been about a year away from the cross. And this is a rough scale. But this parable was taught in his last year of ministry. A year away from the ultimate example of mercy. Jesus isn't a teacher, as I said earlier on. He isn't a teacher who teaches and does something different. Jesus went to the cross for those that persecuted him. He went to the cross for those who love him. He went to the cross for those who don't. But was it easy for Jesus? No. Jesus said to his father, he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He didn't find it easy. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was feeling feelings that none of us have ever felt. He was facing death. He knew what he'd be facing the next day. Go and do likewise. So will you do likewise? Will I go and do likewise? Well, this depends on whether we want to know the way to life. Are we asking God for the tick box exercises? How can I work my way up the ladder? Or are you asking God, how do you want me to live? What is the way of life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. No one says it's easy. No one's ever said being a Christian is easy. No one ever said living your life for Jesus is easy. That's something I'm sure you've heard before. It's not easy, but it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's the best life you'll ever live. Let me tell you that this morning that one of those options I just gave you living, the way of life or the way to life. One of those options will not give you life and life to the full. Eternal life. It'll just take you straight to death. And actually, you could probably combine the two and that would be fine. Doing good deeds, but actually it's the heart. If you think to yourself, after this message this morning, that I need to be a better person, I need to give some money to charity, I need to look out for those that need help, and that's it, then I haven't done a very good job this morning, because I'm not telling you that. That's the message that a lot of people take from the Good Samaritan story. Be a better person. Yeah, be a better person, by all means, please. But I'm telling you, it starts with the heart. Doing things because you think you're going to get something out of it, that's not the way to go. Doing things because Jesus says, this is the way to life. This is the way of life. Go do likewise. It all starts with the heart. So where's your heart this morning? Are you focusing on the things maybe you need to do to be a better person? Or are you focusing on wanting to get closer to Jesus, wanting to know Jesus more? Because when you know Jesus more, you're not going to want to live the same. Your life changes. When you know Jesus, your life changes. But just that starting point I don't know if there's anybody here this morning who isn't a Christian. But that starting point is crucial, obviously. But actually, it's a continuous walk with Jesus. You don't become a Christian and become a perfect person. When you become a Christian, it's a start of the road. And it's a long road. And it's an amazing road. It all starts with the heart. So band, if you could come up. In this last song, I'm just going to pray in a second, but in this last song, please feel free to stay seated. Stay in the moment with God. I don't want you to feel like you have to stand up. I think sometimes in church we're a little too rigid with things. You don't need to stand up after this. If you are in a moment with God, if you find yourself maybe talking to or hearing from God, don't put anything in place of that. Stay seated or stand up. It's up to you. So I'm going to pray now. Our Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for these parables, Lord. Thank you that through these parables, the youngest to the oldest can understand. Thank you that the gospel is likewise, Lord. Thank you that the gospel is understandable for a child. And I just pray this morning that from the very youngest person in this building to the very oldest, Lord, I pray that you just speak into their lives. Over this week, Lord, after hearing the story of the Good Samaritan, Lord, I just pray that you continue to speak to us. We don't want to leave you at tabs. We want to take you wherever we go. And we know, Lord, that you live within our hearts. So, Lord, I just pray that we don't neglect that. I pray that we remember, Lord, that you are always with us. And whatever we're going to face this week, Lord, I just pray that we remember that you are with us and you are for us. You are not against us. Everything good that we have in life, Lord, comes from you. And I thank you for that. Thank you for the multiple blessings. But Lord, we know that there are people out there that need mercy. They need to be shown compassion and mercy. And Lord, if we say we've got you in our hearts, then we need to be shining like the brightest light on the hilltop. Lord, I pray that we don't put a basket over ourselves and say, no, I'll just stick to what I do and that's fine. Lord, I pray that we remember that we've got you within us and that we can show mercy. We can show compassion because that is who you are. You are love. And it all starts with the heart. So Lord, I pray, speak to us now. Holy Spirit, meet us where we are. In your name. Amen. We're going to say the grace together now before we depart. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.